in me.
Let's just praise the Lord. The Lord. How many feel the Holy Ghost? Come on, let's respond to the word of God. Let's respond. Some of you have found comfort in remaining in the wounded mentality. You've found a false sense of comfort in that slavery mentality because you feel like coming out of that. Of that mindset that you're just not worthy enough, you're not good enough. But the Lord wants you to know today, you were worth saving. He loves you. You may be seated. Pray for Amariah. I don't want her to cry for the next hour. Touch her, Jesus. Help her to go to sleep, Lord. God bless Sister Sherry. Y'all don't even know. That girl will wear, my baby will wear you. She's cute and she can be good, but that child can be ornery when she wants something. Bless God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to be like that, though, when we want something bad enough. Can I just talk to you today? I want to be real. I want to connect with somebody today. A few nights ago, I'm a dreamer. The Bible says old men dream dreams and young men have visions. I guess I have an old spirit. But the Lord speaks to me in dreams. He'll warn me about things. He'll reveal spirits that are trying to come in my home so that I'll have wisdom on how to specifically pray. I remember one particular time I kept having dreams about roaring lions. And my oldest daughter, Stephanie, for several years had to go get shots twice a week. She had some problems with her hormones. She had to go through hormone therapy and she had different problems. And the doctors gave her advice to do yoga. Okay? Sometimes we could just be so busy with life that things creep in. But we have got to be spiritually aware. So the Lord gave me a dream, and I'll try to be quick, because y'all know I can go long. I can't help it. When it's in you, you just, it's like, pour it out. It's like, I want to give everything that God's given me to you, you know. But anyway, so I had this dream, and this lion was in the house, and it was just destroying stuff. And I kept looking around, Sister Barlow, and I was like, you know, who invited the lion? Why is there a lion in my house? This was so bizarre. But it was like in my dream, the lion couldn't see me. I was covered. And I was like in the spirit. And it was just running. It was wild. And I was like standing still. And it would just run past me. And the next thing I know, it darted out the front door. And there was my 4-year-old daughter walking on the sidewalk. And it went to get her. To devour her. And in my dream, I was like, in the name of Jesus, you know. And all of a sudden, it turned around and it came running at me. And I was like, oh, no, you don't. So in my dream, I looked, and in my oldest daughter's bedroom, it was like a big cage for it, for that lion. And I'm like, why in the world did this room become a cage for a lion? That's my daughter's room. And I looked at my husband, and I just got righteous indignation in my dream. And I'm like, who let this lion in? This time, we got to kill it. Get it out of here. So my husband grabs it, and he cuts its head off. And instantly, I woke up, and the Lord said, research crouching lion or crouching tiger. And I was like, okay. So I began to research all the spirits that are connected to yoga. And that really, it is a physical worship to the gods of the universe. And it's opening your spirit in its core to allow spirits to flow through you. And they camouflage it as relaxation techniques. I'm going to tell you something right now. There is many counterfeits for the Holy Ghost. But there's only one peace I want to enter into. There's only one rest I want to enter into. Hallelujah. And the enemy will make counterfeits and he'll camouflage. There ain't nothing wrong with it. You're stretching your body. And this is nothing against my daughter. Listen, when you're in pain and you're going through things, you know, and you trust in a doctor, you want help and guidance, and they don't know no different. But you know what? We need to be spiritually aware. And so I got my cup of coffee. I couldn't wait till my daughter woke up. I'm like, I'm going to tell her. I made her throw away the mat and everything. I'm like, Lord Jesus. And I told her and we prayed. But you know what? It's not to shame her. But you know, God will allow certain things to happen so that we can educate other people. And you say, why do you got to be so spiritual? Well, you know what? God is a spirit. And they that worship him have got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? We cannot be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. The Bible says he'll creep into the houses if he can. Hallelujah. But we got to say, not today, devil. My God. I told myself I wasn't going to get all worked up today. Woo! If y'all saw my notes, it's a reflection of my personality. I was in the car with Sister Cindy. God bless you. I love you. She's got an amazing testimony, an amazing spirit. Hallelujah. God's going to use you. God's going to open doors for you. Start getting ready, sis. You start saving all the messages God's putting in your spirit. Amen. So I had a dream, because I'm a dreamer, and I get distracted real easily, and so I feel like sometimes the Lord will, that's how he'll deal with me, when my mind's not wandering, and when I'm not, you know, I'm a people pleaser. I'm constantly serving my family. It's just who I am. God made me that way, and I've learned to love myself for who God made, because if not, you will destroy yourself. You'll be your worst enemy, okay? And I'm not talking about self-help and you know, selfie, glorifying yourself, but I'm talking about I believe you can be confident and not arrogant. I believe you can be secure and not boastful. Okay, and see, the enemy will make, he'll try to, no, it's okay. It's okay to be confident in Jesus. Anyway, see what I'm saying? I'm like all over the place. I got notes here. But we're going somewhere. Just hang on. In my dream, it was a whirlwind. But I found myself in many different scenes. And in this scene, I'm already married. I've been married to an amazing man for 18 years. He's the love of my life. He demonstrated the love of Jesus towards me and helped me to receive my forgiveness. You know, we can repent, get the Holy Ghost, and we can, you know, bless others and still hold on to, like, oh, I'm still nothing, and oh God, you know, why me? And you know, and but he taught me the love of Jesus by his love for me. I'm so thankful for him. But in this particular dream, I'm just going to tell it as a dream, because that's the way the Bible says that we're to tell it. You know, be careful not to read too much into your dreams if it don't line up with the word. Let me just make mention of that, because the enemy, you know, can get you all tripped up. That was free. Anyway, I found myself in many different scenes in this dream. And in this dream, one of the scenes, I was getting married to this man in a church, but it wasn't my husband. In the next scene, we were leaving and going to a place together, but we were not like, I wasn't like opening up, or it was almost like I was just kind of, okay, I'm getting married. I almost felt like maybe what they did back in the Western days, where like if there was a widow, this is the only thing I could connect with it, where there was a widow, like in the prairie days, and you know, her husband would die when they would go out west, and so another traveler would come along. He'd say, listen, I know you don't love me, but you ain't got nothing. I mean, really, they did that. And they looked out for each other. You know, it was a different era of time. And he said, look, you ain't gotta even consummate with me. But if you'll just marry me and help me get out west, you can't get back to no family, you know. And I'm not going to act it out here. Look at how my voice changed. I do that. I have a multicultural. I'm just going to be me, okay? I have a multicultural. We're just going to have a good time. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. God's going to heal somebody today. It's going to be awesome. But I have a multicultural church. I have Egyptians and Hispanics from different Spanish-speaking countries, blacks, whites. And it's so funny. My kids make fun of me, but they're like, Mom, when you're doing street ministry and you get around your black friends, you just start getting this little, you know what I'm saying? And I said, the Bible says, be all things to all men that you might win some, okay? I'm just trying to connect, okay? And then I got my Latino sisters, okay? And so sometimes when I get with them and, you know, it's just, I don't know why, but it happens. I can't help it. Now, my Egyptian-speaking sisters, that's a hard accent to conquer. But sometimes they are just very strong women. And you don't mess with an Egyptian woman. You know Pharaoh's very strong-headed, and you don't want to fight an Egyptian woman. She will tell you about yourself. Amen. What in the world am I doing? I'm all over the place. Woo! I can't help it. And not my entire childhood was bad. I have a love for disabled children. Anybody that has special needs, they're just so tender. They're so unjudgmental and just soft-hearted. I love them. I was a peer facilitator in high school, and I love art. Like, I'm just telling about myself. Is that okay? I loved art. I was a gymnast. I competed in gymnastics. And I can barely bend over without my face turning red now, but I've had 4 kids, okay? What in the world? Where was I going with this? Oh, going out west. Woo! Thank you, God. I needed some laughter today. If you only knew the spiritual warfare I was in this morning, you'd appreciate this laughter a little bit more. So anyway, that's what they used to do back in the old days. I don't even know what my real accent is. I'm really from Indianapolis. People say I'm from Carmel. That's one of the top 10 richest cities in the United States. We have a lot of millionaires that live in I'm not from Carmel, okay? I grew up on the west side of Indianapolis. I lived in Section 8 government housing. We got Christmas from the Salvation Army. I wore my brother's shoes. And it is what it is, okay? And that's why I'm such a chameleon, okay? Because I've been around so many people, and I love every race, color. I don't care. You know, I know there's a lot of prejudice going on, and white people saying stuff about black people, and black people saying stuff about white people. I'm like, you know what? It's a heart issue. If you got an issue with somebody, it's because your heart ain't right. Okay? What in the world? Why did that? That was from the Lord, because that's not in my notes. Okay? No, for real, because, you know, I'm just being real. If I wanted to be prejudiced, I could be prejudiced. I could say I don't like this color because I've been jumped for no reason, but because I was whatever. You know what I'm saying? I've been choked. I remember 10 years old, some girls from another neighborhood came over to our neighborhood and was calling me a dirty white girl, and they sat on my neck while I was on a swing because I wouldn't get off and began to choke me. You know, but I guess the Lord showed me as a young girl, it's a heart issue. Somebody passed that on to them, you know, and they're just breeding something that's been bred into them. And I had a revelation as a young girl before I even had truth that I had to break that cycle. I had to love somebody that was unlovable. And maybe it would soften their spirit. This is all the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be what you've always been. You can break the cycle today. You don't have to keep going clubbing. You don't have to keep reaching for yoga. You don't have to keep reaching for all these things to satisfy you or make you feel like you're somebody. You can be somebody. There is a king in you. And if there's not, we're going to pray the king in you today, if you'll let us. Because there is a heritage of unfeigned faith that God wants you to have. And he wants you to impart it into the next generation. I'm telling you. In this dream. Lord, help me. So we're in the car and we're not even like, is this okay? Okay. I told y'all we gonna laugh. But I don't know what the heck. Woo! Okay. All right, let me get it together. In Jesus' name. So we're sitting in the car, and we're not really even in this dream. I kind of want to be serious now because this really connects into the tongues of interpretation this morning. How many believe in the gifts of the Spirit? They're in operation today. And in this dream, we're sitting in the car, and I'm looking at this man, and I guess in my mind I'm trying to reason it and thinking, well, maybe my husband passed away and this man is marrying me out of obligation. He's going to take care of me. In my mind, I'm like, well, maybe I should, like, hold his hand, you know. And so I tried to hold his hand in the dream, and it was if, and I remember I looked at him and I asked him, why would you marry me? And he just smiled, and he never said one word. He never made one sexual move towards me, and he was very tender, and he was very loving, and I sat next to him, and I thought, I have to tell this man about my past, because once he finds out, he's not even going to be with me. Like, he's too good, you know? I'm just being real. That's what I was feeling in my dream. Right. Then the next thing I know, and we hadn't consummated or anything, I know, just hang with me, okay? It was a God dream. And then we were at a hotel, and he just was kind, and he was just gentle and tender, and there was just something pure about him. There was no motives. He was not really out to get anything from me. And the more I realized that, the more I was drawn to him, but there was this wrestling within me in this dream that I just felt so just unqualified to be with him. Like, why would you want me? Like, you know, and in the dream, you know, I just looked at him and I said, I've got so much I need to tell you. I just need to tell you. I need to share my history. I need to just be transparent with you. In my mind, thinking, well, because, you know, that way you have time to get an annulment. Because I talk a lot sometimes, or sometimes I leave my shoes in the hallway. No, I'm just kidding. And you'll trip over them. You may not like that. No. And in the dream, he just gently came up to me and just tenderly kissed me. Wasn't passionate. It wasn't forceful. And then he said, okay, we'll talk. But he said it in a way that let me know it wasn't going to change his mind. It wasn't going to change his love for me. And then the next thing I know, he went and he went into the shower. And then there was another shower, and I went into the shower. And the next thing I know, I heard my daughter say, Mom, it's okay. It's okay to be with him. And I woke up and I'm like, oh my word, this is weird. I'm like, honey, you got to get a life insurance policy. No, I'm just kidding. But then the Holy Ghost started speaking to me. Because one of the things that I deal with is not believing that I'm worth Him and being used of God. And you say, wow, you're here. You preached an awesome message last night. You know, but I fought hell. I was in spiritual warfare today, but I want you to know that we know the enemy doesn't want me to do this. Okay. But there's some victories that we got to win. And there's some victories God will win for you. And then there's some things you just got to set straight with yourself. And I've had to set some things straight with myself. I've had to look myself in the mirror and say, you're worth it. You know? You're loved. And nothing you could do could separate you from the love of Jesus. Like, sometimes it's hard to receive. And I don't know if you're like me, but I love to give. My husband would be like, where's that one? I gave it away. I gave it. Because I love to give. But sometimes it's hard to receive because I want to give that away too. Somebody will give me a beautiful gift and I'm thinking, oh, that one sister, she's bad. Maybe I should give that to her. And I'm not just an Indian giver, okay? But I just love people and I want people to feel loved. I want people to feel valued. And I guess that's a good trait. But I've had to learn to pat myself on the back every now and then because I've gotten the revelation that I can destroy myself. And not just me, I could destroy my daughters if I don't correct that dysfunctional behavior. Okay? And what we've got to do is realize that we are creatures of habit. And I talked about evaluating ourselves. I talked about a lot of things last night. But one thing I said that God reminded me of about we need to evaluate toxic behaviors. That you could be delivered, you could be tongue talking, holy rolling, heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name, and still have toxic behavior. Okay. But your actions got to follow your faith. If you're delivered, you got to walk like you're delivered. If you're set free, you got to talk like you're set free. Come on. Them precious African Americans that got delivered from slavery, they had to break that mentality of bondage. Because if they didn't, they would still withhold themselves in a slavery mentality and never put themselves in the effort to become. And there's people here that you have been through so many dark things that you just, that are perverted and wicked, and people have abused you or offended you or took advantage of you or hurt you or betrayed you. And because of that, you have learned to live in a life with toxic behavior, dysfunctional thinking. But God wants to break those chains, but you have to realize what those things are and that attitude and that mindset. And you've got to sometimes put your hands on your head and say, God, you've got to touch my mind and my thinking. And you've got to break chains in the way in my attitude, in the way that I think, in the way that I speak. And so in that dream, the Lord was trying to tell me, I love you no matter. I know what you've been. I love you. Do you understand? I'm your God. Hallelujah. 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 Whew. What time is it? It's 12 o'clock almost. How much more time do we got? What time do we got to leave to go to the airport? Woo. Pack a lunch, Wardwell. Am I talking to anybody? Yes. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles. Chapter 1, verse 5.
because I believe you need to read the Bible. Especially if you're going to be preaching. Get in the Word. You can stand if you want to, or you can sit. I'll be quick. I'm not going to be long-winded. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," this is the Apostle Paul writing the letter to Timothy, and he is saying, "When I think about the unfeigned faith that was in you, that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou would just begin to stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Hallelujah. "Be not therefore ashamed of your testimony of the Lord, nor partaker of the afflictions of the gospel," because you're going to suffer. You're going to go through things according to the power of God, but nothing that God don't see and won't come to your rescue. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." It was not about how good you are. It'll never be about how good you are. It's about how good he is. It's about how mighty he is. It's about how gracious and loving and forgiving and wonderful he is that he calls us. Hallelujah. To a holy calling, a pure calling, an unfeigned, genuine calling of the Most High God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. You may be seated. It was this pure and holy faith that was once imparted from Lois and Eunice that they begin to transfer into their son Timothy. Children are watching us. Come on, children are watching us. If you don't have children today, I pray by the end of this message, God will begin to stir up your heart to begin to mentor the next generation. I love my children. I know my baby's fussing right now, but I don't send my daughter off. I don't send my children out. When we're teaching Bible study, they're right there. When we're having revival, they're right there. Come on now. If they got homework, we'll do it when we get home. They're in the pew. They come to church because I want my children to make it to glory. I'm trying to transfer the unfeigned faith that God has given me to the next generation. And if I ever want them to overcome, I've got to invest in them. Come on, God wants you to be a disciple today. God's calling some ladies to raise up, hallelujah, the banner of holiness, the banner of righteousness, and get a burden for the youth group and get the kids over and the young girls over. Begin to talk to them about keeping their purity. Begin to talk to them about being a prayer warrior. Come on, you don't know what to do. Maybe you can't do prison ministry. Maybe you're too embarrassed or too shy to door knock. You just find a little kid in your church, wrap your arms around and begin to speak into their life. "Honey, you are so precious. Do you know you're a child of the King? You look so godly in that outfit, honey. You know you're going to be something amazing. And you know what? You are right now. God can use you. Just start to speak into the next generation." Because that's what Lois and Eunice begin to do. It was that unfeigned faith that they begin to impart, that God began to raise up a Timothy, hallelujah, who was a mighty man of God, hallelujah. If we're going to raise up a next generation, there's got to be some Loises in here. There's got to be some Eunices in here that still holding on to the apostolic truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! God is so good. It's important for us to realize that everything we do leaves a trail behind us. And there is a Lamb's Book of Life There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven and nevermore. There's a reason we sang them songs. Come on, there's a reason for them old time hymns, because somebody was in a prayer closet somewhere fasting and seeking the face of God. And when they came out, a song rose up in them and they began to write it down. I remember when I got back in the church at 17 and I didn't even know very much scripture. Hallelujah. We would begin to sing them old school songs and they were scripture. They were the word. You'd be singing the word and all of a sudden Monday come and something would happen and you'd be like, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is. There's a reason we sung them songs, because they gave us hope. They gave us word. And that what that is an impartation into your spirit. And that's why you got to be careful what you're allowing your eyes to see and your ears to hear and your mind to receive, because there's always an impartation going on, whether you believe it or not. Come on, there's always this flesh right here is the biggest organ in your body. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, it is. This right here is, it's absorbing right now. It's absorbing the oxygen. It's absorbing air. Hallelujah. We are always taking something in. Oh, mighty God. These women discipled Timothy. They imparted unto him a pure faith, an unfeigned faith. The Bible tells us a great deal about Timothy. Paul learned in Acts chapter 16, 1 and 2 that Timothy had an exceptional reputation among the local Christians. Everyone is watching you. And when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you got to represent. Did you know that Timothy came from a mixed racial background? His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek, but it did not hinder him. I don't care who you are today and where you come from. If you have a sold out desire to do a work for God, God has a calling for you. If you'll just answer it, if you'll just surrender to God, God will raise you up. Come on, He is no respecter of persons. If there's a desire in you and you get yourself aligned, hallelujah, you begin to walk with Him like never before. Come on, God will begin to use you. I said, God will begin to use you. Hallelujah. He was an active member of the missionary team. Timothy means honoring God or precious to God. Lois and Eunice raised up someone that would honor God. It was that impartation that they put into his life. And today, in this weekend at this conference, there's been some impartation. There's been some investment into your spirit. Come on, God has spoken into many women's lives during these last 2 days here. Hallelujah. I'm giving some very clear guidance and some very clear direction and some very clear commandments. Because some things are not optional. Some things God requires of us. Period. When we pass the baton of the gospel of truth to the next generation, how much more can they do for Christ? We don't just impart word, but we impart deed. How many know that children will not just do what you say, they will do what you do. They will pick up your attitude. If you're sarcastic all the time, if you're rude, if you talk down to them, guess what? They're going to talk down to somebody else, or they're going to talk down to their children. But there's something that we've got to break the chains. Come on, we got to break the chains of dysfunction. We all have a story. We all have dysfunctional roots. Come on, ain't no perfect family out there. If there is, I'm staying away, because I promise you ain't something shady going on behind the curtains. It's the truth anyway. Lord help me. Just trust me, I know, okay? Woo! Jeremiah chapter 9.
We're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. I just realized a long time ago, there ain't no sense in doing it any other way. I love Jeremiah, and sometimes I feel like I can connect and relate to him. Speaking of the mind, you have to imagine this era of time. God calls this man to be a prophet during a time when it's wickedness and idolatry and so much evil going on in the kingdomship, and he gets this burden for his people. And I'm going to tell you what, he preaches truth to them, and they hate it. They don't want to hear it. He tells them to get rid of their idols and repent and live right, and that's why they're going to lose battles, and they're going to lose their families, and they're going to lose possession over the land, and they hate listening to him telling them that they got to change their ways. But I'm going to tell you what, church, if we're ever going to take possession in 2018, we've got to be holy. We've got to live right. We've got to guard the glory of God like never before. Because he can't live in an unclean temple. I'm sorry, but he cannot. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon. You can't serve two masters today. Hallelujah. You got to choose who you're going to live for. You got to get up every day, say, God, I can't live on yesterday's heights. I can't live on yesterday's Ladies on Fire conference. Today, I choose to live for you. Today, I choose to be faithful. Today, I choose to say no to things that are unrighteous and unholy and unpure, because I want an unfeigned faith that'll birth a Timothy. I want an unfeigned faith that'll birth missionaries. I want an unfeigned faith that'll pass on a legacy I never had. You know how you get the victory over your past? You want to know how? You live right. And you live a legacy. And you pass that on. And it becomes a heritage. Rewrites your story. Hallelujah. He makes a way of escape. And you know what that way is? Right here. Right here. Hallelujah. If you're on a treasure hunt, you want a map, right? You want to know how to get the goods. Well, right here's the map. And there are so many treasures in here. And I'm telling you, I heard an old story one time. It said in this house, they began to be poor. It was during the Great Depression. And they began to even, some of them during that time, ate their children, history says. They would burn their furniture. It got so cold and they had no heat. And they were starving to death. While all the while upstairs in an attic sat a box, the old box, and inside was a great treasure that was worth millions and that they never opened. And I want you to know there's people here today, you are starving to death, and the very greatest treasure is right before you. And God said, I want to baptize you with a love for my word. Hallelujah, because it's through the impartation of the word of God when it begins to get in your spirit. Come on, you know why I can flow the way I flowed last night? Because in my darkest night, and I've been there. Oh, come on, I've gotten up before in the midnight. God, there's been nights I couldn't even go to bed, and then when I would go to bed, I couldn't even get out of bed the next day. Then I would go to get dressed, and I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about last year. I would stand in my closet, and I couldn't even decide what to wear. I was battling anxiety so intense, I would curl up in a fetal position, and the only name I knew to call on was the name of Jesus, and all I knew to do was read the word, and I didn't feel God, and the devil told me God left me. But just like David, God didn't leave David. David had to get a new anointing, and that's what you're here getting, is a brand new anointing. Hallelujah. It was was in that season that I just began to read the word. I just flipped through whatever I was going through. I would look up fear. God, show me all the scriptures on fear. And I would read them and I'd get them down in my spirit. And all of a sudden, I'd be going through something. And all these scriptures would start pouring out of my spirit. Come on, you want to have unfeigned faith? It's time to get back in the word of God like never before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell people, it may be time for you to change the channel. What do I mean? Hold on, let me find my notes. Because I wrote it down. And I know God wants me to share it. Hannah interceded. That was her channel. When she had a desperate need for a child. Esther fasted when the elimination of her people was at risk. That was her channel. Ruth labored, hallelujah, in the fields by faith because she needed a legacy. She needed some sustaining heritage. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're going through life and it's fuzzy and you can't hear God, it may be time for you to change the channel. It may be time for you to push the plate. It may say, I gotta fast. I gotta pray. Oh, that ain't working. I gotta get in the word. Oh, I can't hear it. Well, I'm gonna go reach the lost. I'm gonna go clean the church. I'm gonna go clean the bathrooms. Come on. Come on. I won't surrender to the enemy because I've already surrendered to God. I said, I won't surrender to the enemy because I done surrendered to God. Come on, we can't give up. Come on, every time, hallelujah, the enemy comes and attacks us and pushes us around, we can't just throw in the towel. We got to just change the channel. Come on, I'm talking about unfeigned faith. I'm talking about perseverance. I'm talking about pressing and pushing. Come on, you want to birth something? How many mamas know you can't stop pushing? When you feel them contractions, my last daughter, I looked at my husband. I said, you need to tell everybody to get out the room right now. I said, this baby's fixing to come. He's like, no, baby, you just need to calm down. I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, go get the doctor. And don't you know she was coming. And they're like, well, we really need you to wait because I said, I cannot wait. She is coming right now. And I'm going to, and I started to push. And it wasn't long. And I birthed a beautiful baby girl. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't give up. Because if that baby stays in that birth canal too long, it'll get under distress. Come on, something fatal might happen. Come on. Come on, you don't want your purpose to die. You don't want your purpose to die. You got to be willing to say, oh, I'm going to push. I said I'm going to push. God, whatever you are doing, whatever you're trying to show me. Come on, sister. She believes what I'm preaching. Come on. Oh, we don't have a problem when we want to hear a song on the radio flipping the channel. Hallelujah. But why? I said, why? When things come our way, are we so quick to just be like, well, forget it, okay? I'm not just, forget it. God don't love me. I'm just going to have an attitude. No, we've got to say no. I've got to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Because unfeigned faith is going to cause you to push. And I'm fixing to close. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something. This is a powerful revelation. A couple things. Oh, Jeremiah, we're still waiting on that. Chapter 9 verse 20 says, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentation. Come on, we got to teach the next generation, ladies, how to intercede. Come on, don't send your children to the sanctuary while you go touch the hem of his garment. You pull little Sally along with you. Say, baby, this is how you talk to Jesus. Come on. You get one of those Sunday school kids and say, come on, Tisha. Come on, Denaria. I'm going to show you how to talk to the master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's not about a spotlight. Come on, it's not about my name, but it's about bringing glory to His name. Hallelujah. It's not about my legacy, but it's about the legacy of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. We got to birth a legacy through obedience to God's word, pureness of heart, intercession, living righteous for His glory. We got to have a fear of the Lord. We got to realize, yes, He's good. Yes, He's gracious. But there's going to come a great white throne of judgment. And I want to hear Him say, well done, well done. I don't want Him to tell me, depart. I didn't know you. I never heard your voice. Come on. Oh, come on. Unfeigned faith is not just about our salvation. Our unfeigned faith is taking somebody else to heaven with you. The Bible says every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. We are a work in progress, but we've got to work on ourselves, and we got to be aware. We can't slumber. We got to persevere because it's Jesus on the inside working on the outside.
That's right.
Wisdom comes from the Holy Ghost, and God's trying to show somebody today that you are destined for greatness. We've gotten tools. We've learned things. Hallelujah. God's exposed some things about ourselves. And you're going to leave here invigorated, refreshed, rejuvenated, focused. And the enemy will try to come. But you know how to put him in his place now. Come on, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1. I know I'm all over the place, but it's going to tie together when we're all said and done here. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 17. This is during the time when a Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph. This is right at the very beginning of the captivity of the children of Israel. They had no business making Egypt their home. And I'm going to tell you what, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And where your treasure is, your heart's going to be also. And there's nothing wrong with making good money and having nice things, but we've got to make kingdom-mindedness our priority, because we're just passing through. This is just temporal, sis. We're just passing through, okay? I got the old songs in my head. What's that old song? A mansion and glory. I don't know.
I've got a mansion just over in glory.
Yeah. Over in the glory land. Exodus chapter 1 and 17 says, this is after Pharaoh commanded the midwives to kill every Hebrew boy. The Bible says, but the midwives feared God. They were women of unfeigned faith of the Old Testament. They said, oh, I hear what you're saying, Pharaoh. I know what you want me to do. But there's a God who will not tolerate such an abomination. Hallelujah. They had the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mentality. They said, I don't care if you throw me in that fire or kill me. I'm not going to bow down when the music plays.
Come on.
And that's happening today. My husband was just over in Egypt, and the sound and the call of prayer is so loud. When he would call me, I could barely hear him. And there is coming a day. There are some nations in the Middle East right now, when that call of prayer comes on, if you don't bow down and begin to pray to Allah, they will pull you in the streets and cut your head off. You better thank God for some freedom. But in the midst of your freedom, you got to choose to serve Him. Hallelujah. And there's some women in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17 said, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called. They could have been killed. They could have, anything could have happened to them. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, why have you done this thing? And why did you save these kids alive when I told you to kill them as soon as they come out of these Egyptian or these Israelite women, Hebrew women? I love this part. Woo. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like these Egyptian women. For they're lively and they just have them babies. They don't whine and complain and ask for a they just have them babies. And they ain't gonna let nobody just take their babies from them. Come on, you gotta protect your promise. You gotta protect your promise. And the midwives, they said that to him. Hallelujah. They said, for they are lively and are delivered of the midwives before we ever come into the room. They done had their babies. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. Forget it. If these midwives aren't going to kill these babies, we're gonna throw them in the river. And y'all know the rest of the story about Moses. If you'll stand to your feet right now. God wants to heal some women in here. I haven't forgotten what the Holy Ghost spoke. I haven't forgotten the tongues of interpretation. But I want to tell you, don't mistake in working for God from intimacy with God. They're two totally different things. In my closing, it was at the end of the war. Allied airstrikes reduced most of the country to rubble, as most men were either found dead or had not even returned from war. The women Hitler had seen as homemakers had to help rebuild the nation. They were widows. They were motherless, or they were childless, rather. Many of them, because their children went to war. I'm talking about the German women after the war. They often had little more than their hands and basic tools to work with Allied bombing attacks, which began in 1942, and they continued until just days before Germany's surrender. And what happened was, there was not enough men, and I'm not making a contrast in that way. I'm just talking to you because you're ladies, okay? But their streets were tore up. Their houses were tore up. There was nothing left of Germany, Harley. It was utter destruction. There weren't enough men to do the heavy work. And at the end of the war, 15 million men were missing. They'd either fallen or become prisoners to war. And so with the lack of manpower to clear the rubble, the Allied Control Council introduced a mandatory work duty for women. And they were called the women of the rubble. And they, if they wanted to eat, if they wanted to even have any kind of legacy, sis, they had to get up and they had to get out there and they had to work and they had to clean their city up. And I want you to know, I'm not discrediting anyone's hurt and their pain. Believe me, I have been through my share. But I have found such healing in working for God. Falling in love with Him was the best thing I ever done. It was the best thing I've ever done. It brought healing to me. Hallelujah. And so those women would gather their children and they'd pick up a wheelbarrow. Said it was from the laying on of the hands. And so if you're in ministry, I'd like for you to come up to the front of this church and we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray for you. Because some of you have been through war and you feel like everything around you is nothing but destruction. But God is going to give you the strength to rebuild and to do a work for Him. There's going to be some ladies that leave here ashamed to even look at their own bodies. And God's going to heal you. There's women that have dealt with things that no one knows. And God's going to do a work for you. I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you. Let's start out with repentance. Because there's times we've spoken things and we've shorted God by not receiving our forgiveness and our deliverance and our cleansing and our healing. Come on. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Jesus, for allowing destruction in my mind. God, break those chains of toxic habits and toxic attitude and dysfunctional thinking. Break them chains in my mind, God. Come on. I want you to lay your hand on your forehead right now in the name of Jesus. And I want you to begin to pray over your mind like never before. God, in the name of Jesus, touch my mind. Touch my thinking. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want a destiny. I want to be used for your glory. I want an unfeigned faith that will birth Timothy's. I want an unfeigned faith that will preserve the doctrine of the apostolic faith. I want, God, this mind to be in me that was in you, Christ Jesus. Come on, that's it. Tell the Lord. Come on, tell the Lord whatever it is you came here for. I want you to tell God before we raise our hands and receive. I want you to keep your hand on your forehead. And I want you to tell yourself, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. God, you're going to set me free. Whatever it is you need, I want you to tell God about it right now. And I want you to believe that when we all raise our hands together to receive, that God is going to impart into you the deliverance and the healing that you need, the healing that you're proclaiming right now. Come on, whatever it is, whatever it is, come on, tell the Lord. Help me to receive it, God. Help me to believe it, God. And Lord, when I walk away, help me to walk by faith and not by sight. And God, when I feel those spirits coming against me, help me to speak deliverance. Help me to proclaim healing. Help me not to look back like Lot's wife, because I don't want to be a testimony of what was, but I want to be a living testimony of what is because of you. Sisters, I want you to come up here. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand right here. Come on, before you raise your hands and receive, we're going to lift our hands towards you as you raise your hands right now in the name of Jesus. And God is going to impart unto you the very petition that you've requested, the very deliverance that you're seeking. Come on, he's going to do it right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. Come on, Sister Haney, come help me lay hands on these ladies. Come on, Sister Barlow. Come on, sister. We're going to go lay hands on these ladies.
The Spirit's changing now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. And the Spirit of the Lord is here. Fill our hearts with your love, your love. Surround us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love. Surround us. guitar.